This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Welcome to Business Sanity Talk Radio. This is your host, Barry Maltz, and this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 320. This episode is provided by Sage One, an online accounting and business services solution for every small business. It's also provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. I want to welcome our new sponsor, CorpNet, the online legal document filing service that helps entrepreneurs start, grow, and maintain their businesses. Well, think about the last time you were really listening in business or in a personal setting. It probably was because someone was telling an engaging story. Well, we need to do the same thing in business. Every company has to have a story that customers can tell. All the great brands do. What is yours, and what do you need to do it effectively? We literally have the woman that wrote the Bible on how to do this. Judy Carter's coming up. Also, do you have a game plan for your business? I don't mean some dusty business plan that you never pull out. I mean a game plan this week, this month, and do your employees have one? I'm going to show you how to formulate a simple daily plan that's always going to be able to accomplish your goals. And when was the last time you had a really honest conversation with your employees? I don't mean sports or the weather. I mean a real heart-to-heart. Kim Jansen is here to show us how to do that. But first, what keeps you up at night? For most small business owners, it's wondering whether they have enough to cash to pay their staff or meet the bills next week. Or maybe it's that product. Is it going to be ready to go to market on time? Or are they going to win that big contract? There's no shortage of things that can keep us up at night. But when you're lying awake, what is really the best way to handle it? To help us out is Dr. Nicole Lipkin. She's a business psychologist specializing in leadership and organizational development. She's the author of the popular leadership book. It's called What Keeps Leaders Up at Night. Nicole is a regular contributor on NPR, NBC, CBS, Fox, Forbes, Entrepreneur, and New York Times Magazine. Nicole, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Barry. Thanks for having me.
All right. I got to ask you a personal question, though. What keeps you up at night?
That's a great question. Besides my snoring husband, you know, the thing.
Oh, you and my wife have something in common.
Besides the things that, you know, are pretty typical, like market forces, like making money, all of that stuff. The things that really nag at me are the ideas or people that I hold on to well past their expiration point. You know, like when I hire someone who happens to be a really horrible fit and not letting them go because I hired them and have this perception that if I keep on investing more time, money, and energy, that they'll be better and better, when in reality, they're just destroying the work. So that's one of the things that really nags at me. And also the interpersonal stuff nags at me, you know, and keeps me up at night.
It's interesting because, of course, I wake up at night just like everyone else does, worrying about things. But I have this sign that I look over on. It says, let it go. And I find that that helps short circuit the worrying. What are your suggestions when you do wake up night, what you should be doing?
That's a great question. You know, the bottom line is that we're all really busy, all overwhelmed, especially when you're a small business owner and you're on your own and doing it on your own. So, interestingly enough, when we lose sleep over our stress, because it's, you know, when it comes down to stress, stress isn't a bad thing. Kind of what wakes you up is not necessarily a bad thing. It's how you perceive stress and how you choose to behave. So we actually have a lot of control when it comes to managing what wakes us up at night or how we sleep. And the reality is that if you're not getting enough sleep, it's going to funk you out for the rest of the day. It's just the way it affects our brain. So one of the things that I always suggest, and this is obvious and kind of a no-brainer, is if you do pop up in the middle of the night, that obviously means something's on your head, you know, on your brain, or you just drank too much coffee too late. But getting up for a second and writing down whatever in your brain and getting it out of your head often does help, because sometimes ideas wake us up. So forcing yourself to fall back asleep is often not going to work. Sometimes just responding to that helps. The other thing, like you said, sometimes you have to let it go or deal with it early in the morning when you wake up and you have a fresh mind. And the truth is that with sleep is reparative. And when you do sleep, you are able to see a problem more clearly. And we all know that. It's like kind of the 24-hour rule. Give yourself some time. Let it process. Your brain's doing its work. to help you process whatever stressing you out.
All right, I think that's good advice. We're talking with Dr. Nicole Lipkin. She's the author of the book, What Keeps Leaders Up at Night. So, Nicole, I recently read a survey that said that, and this is not surprising, that the vast majority of people don't like their jobs. What is really the cost of disengagement of our employees to small business owners?
It's a great question. You know, Gallup recently put out a study, and what they found, the financial costs for disengagement are around $450 to $550 billion annually. And the leading cause of disengagement are bad, jerky bosses. And the problem is according to that recent study, only 30% of employees report feeling engaged, while 52% report feeling not engaged, and 18% report being actively disengaged. And that means not only being checked out or going through the motions of work, but also means actively trying to sabotage peers or a company. And interestingly, boomers are the ones with the highest levels of active disengagement, and millennials or Xers are the ones with the highest levels of reported disengagement, just being checked out. The thing is, Gallup, along with other big research companies, have done this survey for years. And if you look at the trend since 2000, you're going to notice that these engagement levels, these levels of engagement and disengagement and active disengagement, have remained pretty consistent over time, give or take a few percentage points. And what that tells me is that although the discussion of engagement is common and we're constantly talking about it, we're not that doing that great of a job of managing it.
And so what, as small business owners, what can we do to make sure that our employees are more engaged, that we're not one of those bad bossing that really adds to the problem?
And that's a great question. See, I think one of the reasons why we don't do a great job at managing engagement is because it's such an elusive concept. We obviously know it when we feel it, and we certainly know it when we don't feel it. But there are these tangible aspects of engagement that we always talk about and that are most often applied, things like, you know, what you pay your employees, the benefits you give them, how nice you are, whatever it might be. But there's all of these intangible aspects of engagement that are often the things that deflate engagement. And what deflates is very, very tied into human nature and human behavior. So one of the things, which is really interesting that we don't often talk about, is the concept of a psychological contract. So that psychological contract, it's not the workplace contract that you actually sign. It's what the employer promises the employee psychologically and what the employee promises the employer. And there are the tangible things and the intangible things. It's like, you can expect this from me, and in return, I'm going to give this to you.
So, Nicole, give us some examples of that, because I think it's a great point.
Yeah, so the tangible things from an employer are pay, benefits, bonuses, whatever that might be. And the tangible elements from an employee are work output, showing up on time, doing your job. But the intangible things are things like, you're going to treat me with respect, provide meaningful work, respect my strengths. And in return, I'm going to respect you. I'm going to be engaged. I'm going to put in my 25% more discretionary effort because I feel engaged. And the thing is, it is so powerful. And this contract, like we all know, breaks. It's so fragile, and
right,
it breaks so easily because of violations of trust, lack of honesty and integrity, ethical violations, broken promises, that's probably the biggest one, intrusions on personal time, you know, like when you email an employee over the weekend just because you're getting it off your chest, they still might feel obligated to respond, and it's an intrusion. Bad job, like ill-defined job expectations, difficult workplace environment, or drastically altering the deal. The reason why it's so powerful are because of two huge psychological human concepts. One is the social exchange. And basically what that means is that we weigh our relationships in terms of a cost-benefit analysis. You know, as cold as that sounds, that's what we do. So put in human terms, we want to maximize our benefits in relationships while minimizing costs. Or at a most basic level, we just want to keep things feeling balanced and equal. So if you've ever had a friend who kind of sucks the life out of you and gives you nothing in return, over time, that friend's going to become someone you never want to be around, right? So why should this be any different in the workplace? And the second aspect is the concept of the norm of reciprocity, which says if you do this for me, I'm going to do this for you. Like, if you let me take the lead on this project, I'm going to exceed your revenue expectations. Or if you invite me to your wedding, hey, I'm going to feel obligated to invite you to mine. So when you're treated really well, respected, rewarded, and challenged, you're going to be more motivated to give back in return. But when you're treated like crap, you're going to be pretty motivated to work like crap. These are very basic human nature concepts that really alter the deal with that psychological contract.
I think it's a great point, Nicole. We're out of time for this segment. Where can people get more information from you?
You can get information from me at my website at www.equilibrialeadership.com or at Dr. Nicole Lipkin on Twitter.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks, Barry.
Well, when was the last time you had truly a heart-to-heart conversation with an employee? If the answer is not in last month or maybe never, you're not going to want to miss this next guest. This is AM 560, The Answer.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
Taking a look at your roadways on Metra's Union Pacific Northwest line, outbound train 725, which was set to arrive at Harvard at 10:20 p.m., is stopped in Palatine with a pedestrian incident. No reports of road closures around that area. Once that train gets underway, you could expect some heavy delays. I-57 outbound closed at 127th with a serious crash, seeing a solid delay backing up to 115th. On the northbound side, a gaper's delay from 127th to 119th. That's a 17-minute trip from 80 to the Ryan. Elsewhere, no delays on the Edens or the Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson, and the Dan Ryan are all clear. Bishop Ford and Lakeshore Drive, no difference. Right now, 54 degrees, a couple clouds. A low of 42 overnight, mostly sunny on Easter Sunday tomorrow, and a high of 67. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
So in the last few weeks, you may have found yourself switching back and forth between radio stations. Not quite sure where you should be spending your time. Yeah, well, we're here to clear up any confusion. There's just one radio station in this town talking about the stories that matter. From what's happening in Washington, to what's happening on Wall Street, to what's happening right here in Chicago. And that station is this one. AM 560. The Answer.
Four new employees.
A 20% increase in revenue.
Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
The journey into entrepreneurship is no easy feat, but the reward is like no other. Just ask entrepreneur Nelly Acow, founder and CEO of CorpNet.com, who's been a business owner since 1997. CorpNet can help you start a business, incorporate your business, form an LLC, file a DBA, and file many other important business documents in all 50 states. To get started, call their team today for a free business consultation. Call 888-752-0363 or visit CorpNet.com.
With an increasing number of Illinois concealed carry instructors having their credentials revoked, don't leave your training to chance. Safer USA, Chicago's trusted name in firearm training, has trained almost 6,000 students to be responsible firearm owners. We're offering the most comprehensive Illinois concealed carry program available. Our program will actually prepare you to carry a firearm for personal protection, including firearm, holster, and ammunition selection, a comprehensive law review designed to keep you out of trouble, and even how to deal with home invasion. We provide the firearm, ammunition, holster, class notebook, and lunch. Safer USA and the Aurora Sportsman's Club invite you to participate in this one-of-a-kind Illinois concealed carry program. For more information, visit saferusa.com or call 877-954-3030. That's 877-954-3030. Safer USA, choosing to own a firearm is your business. Teaching you to own it responsibly is ours.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
So this is the part of the show where I need you to be really honest with yourself. When was the last time you had a real conversation with one of your employees? I don't mean when you said, so how are things going, or what's the weather like, or what about those Bulls? I mean a real conversation about their family, their career, other things that are really meaningful to them. Here to help to accomplish that is Kim Jansen. She's the author of a book called Demystifying Talent Management, Unleash People's Potential, Deliver Superior Results. She has 20 and more years experience working in over 40 countries in senior roles as Chief Talent Management Officer at H.J. Heinz Company and the Senior VP Leadership Development at Bank of America. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. I'm really thrilled to be here.
So why do so many small business owners, employers, why don't we avoid having real heart-to-heart conversations besides it taking time and it's hard?
It is hard. It doesn't have to be, though. I think for several reasons. The first is I think there is a serious lack of skill in this area. I think, too, we have overcomplicated it in organizations and made it a lot scarier than it should be. And then, three, I think we have some people in the job who just shouldn't be there. And for a manager to help people contribute to their fullest and reach their potential, you actually need to care, and you need to think about how to make that real for that person and how to help drive the business with that person. And I think we lose sight of that as we start to go and talk to employees.
So let's say as a small business, you say, you know, I do care or I want to care. You talk about in the book the five crucial conversations managers need to have with their employees. What are they?
Well, there's five of them, and you should be very intuitive as to how you think about this. So the first thing is tell people what you expect of them. So in bigger organizations, you'll hear this referred to as goals or objectives or key performance indicators. At the end of the day, performance needs to be clear, and people need to know what's expected of them. That's the first one. The second conversation is as people start to go and execute against these things, tell them how they're doing. You know, the idea of coaching and feedback is so recognized and welcomed in sports and other venues, but when it comes to the workplace, it's a little bit tough, and it shouldn't be. We want people to be successful. We want to drive for business results, but they need to know how they're calibrating against those results. So the second conversation is tell them how they're doing. The third conversation is tell them how they did. And very simply, we can avoid the drama and trauma of the performance reviews by simply focusing on the simple question of, did they do what they said they were going to do? You can get crazy and ask, did they do more? Did they do less? But in simple terms, that's what you want to be clear on. And if you've done a good job up front on the first question, then this one becomes easy. The fourth conversation is about the money that they're going to get or whatever the trade in value is of their work. You need to be upfront about it. You need to be clear. And then you need to be accountable about delivering on that if they deliver their performance. And then the last conversation, so that you're building equity in your asset, i.e. your employees, so that they're fully contributing and getting more out, you want to have the how are we going to grow conversation. The shorter version of that is 12 months. Sometimes it's called a development plan. The longer-term version of that is career development. And more sophisticated organizations can think in terms of how to intersect that with business plans, and that's called succession planning. So we can use a lot of complicated terms and a lot of different ways of going back at it, but simply those five ideas, tell them what they need to do, tell them how they're doing, tell them how they did, tell them what they're going to get for it, and then tell them how they're growing. That's in essence what I would suggest that managers do at a minimum.
We're talking with Kim Jansen. She's the author of Demystifying Talent Management, Unleash People's Potential, Deliver Superior Conversations. Kim, you talk about these five crucial conversations that we got to have with our employees. What are really the logistics around it? How much time should it take? When should I do it? How often should I do it?
So it varies based on the conversation. So I'm not a huge process person. I've come from a lot of good organizations, such as Bank of America, who does process really well. I'm more of a simplist. Do whatever you need to do to the degree in order to ensure that the message is getting across. If you use the back of a napkin and you're both sitting around and having the conversation and it's gaining clarity, fine. The more you can add a little rigor to that, certainly the better. So a little bit of formality may go a long way, but the key is don't overcomplicate it. That's when it starts to compete with all of the business needs that are coming in front of the person who may not be doing this conversation. The only reason you're doing this is to help drive the business forward. The only reason why you accomplish business results is because of the talent, so make sure your talent's aligned. So I would do the what you need to do conversation early, ahead of time. Some companies sometimes do that late. That's very frustrating, but make sure you do that one early. The how are you doing conversation, I do that as often as you can. Managers who are fully present, who can recognize and call out different behaviors or different results, are more likely to get the results they want or the behaviors that they want. So being present and doing that as quickly as you can and as often. The money conversation I would have right after the performance expectation conversation. To be clear up front, how people are going to be compensated in relation to their contribution, and then I would have it right after the performance results are delivered. Of course, the how you did conversation is done at the end. The growth conversation should be done at the beginning of a performance cycle. That could be 3 months, it could be a year, and it should be ongoing to map against whether you're tracking where you want to be. But the whole idea is make it a conversation. So eyeball to eyeball, human to human, someone driving to work who wants to be successful, give them the tools to be successful is the idea behind the whole idea behind the five conversations.
Because in the end, Kim, people really want to know that you as a small business owner, you really care. And if they believe that you really care, they'll really go a lot farther for your company, won't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I've traveled around the world and have worked in a lot of different companies. And this is a universal truth, just what you said. People will give you more discretionary effort. They'll stop watching the clock. They'll think about the pains and opportunities of your small business if they feel that they're part of it and they feel that they're valued and they feel that they have room to contribute. It's not a complicated formula. It's really tapping into human nature and the elements that make people want to be successful. And as a manager or as a leader or owner of a small business, you've got to slow it down and enable the people working with you to be able to go fast against the business results. And sometimes that gets muddled. Sometimes I hear a lot of, well, I'm just too busy, or I don't have time to do that today. Well, there's a big downside if people are going against what you're trying to do or are not reaching their full potential because you haven't had those conversations along the way. And make them iterative. Make
right.
them easy. Make them enjoyable.
Because in the end, people really do want to be successful, right? I mean, I know you talk about in the book that, you know, people don't drive to work saying, hey, I guess I don't want to be successful today.
Right. Yeah, no. I haven't come across that person yet, thankfully. I find if people are not being successful, it's one of two areas. It's either an area of skill or an area of will. They either simply do not have the tools or experience or confidence to be able to do what they need to do. And so as adults, a lot of times we don't want to be in that spot. You know, there's a lot of pressure about expectations of adults. And a lot of times when you don't have those skills, people take a step back from things. On the will side, we sometimes put people in positions or they find themselves in positions they don't want to be. I mentioned earlier, you know, one of the reasons why these things don't happen is we have some wrong people in the job. A lot of times people are promoted to a manager position because they were a great marketer. Well, marketing has nothing to do with management skills around
Absolutely.
People. They are completely different skill sets. And sometimes there's a will that isn't there. People actually want to go and do the marketing work, or people who shouldn't have been promoted in the first place. So I think we as leaders and owners need to have the courage to actually recognize that and do the right thing for the business and for the people long term.
It's interesting because I really believe, Kim, that if people see themselves as being successful, that will breed success. If people see them as being a failure, that will breed more failure. So, Kim, I appreciate you being on the show. Where can people learn more about you and get a copy of the book?
Thanks so much for having me. They can get a copy of the book on Amazon.com. They can learn more about me through the website www.jansenassociates.com, or certainly emailing me directly, which is kim@jansenassociates.com.
Kim, thanks again.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, coming up, think about the last time where you really listened in a conversation. It's probably because someone was telling a really great story. Coming up, does your business tell a good story and how to do it? This is AM 560. The Answer. We'll be right back.
breaking up can be hard to do, especially if it means breaking up with your old radio station. You know, the station you used to spend all your time with, the one you went everywhere with. Then one day, you woke up and realized your old station had changed. Yeah, happens. Good news is, now you're listening to AM 560. It's like a breath of fresh air. News, opinion, insight. All the things you're looking for in one radio station. Welcome to AM 560. The answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Gary Baumgarten. Pope Francis celebrating Easter Mass to tens of thousands gathered in a rainstorm in St. Peter's Square.
We pray that we who keep the solemnity of the Lord's resurrection may, through the renewal brought by your Spirit, rise up in the light of life.
The Pope shielded from the pelting rain by a canopy, many of the faithful under umbrellas. Undefeated no more, Kentucky knocked out from the NCAA basketball tournament by Wisconsin, but then on campus, students showing their disappointment by setting fires, hostile to the cops and firefighters, some 20 arrests reported. In Pakistan, a man kills 10 extended family members after a cousin rejected his marriage proposal. Years ago, he killed four others over the same dispute, but was never arrested. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
Taking a look at your roads, southbound I-57 shut down north of 127th with a serious crash. Critical injuries have been reported there. A solid delay all the way back to 115th. Again, I-57 closed north of 127th with a serious injury accident. Inbound lanes are slow as you approach the crash from 127th to 119th, 17 minutes in from I-80. Elsewhere, things moving well on the Edens and Kennedy. No delays on the Ike or the Stevenson. Dan Ryan and the Bishop Ford moving well. Over on Metra's UP Northwest line, outbound train 725 remains stopped at Palatine with a pedestrian incident. Right now, it's 54 degrees and cloudy, partly cloudy overnight, a low of 42. Mostly sunny on Sunday with a high of 67. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Four new employees.
A 20% increase in revenue.
Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in industry. But no one recognized the folks that have the courage to challenge the industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about, and you can be nominated right now. Go to rulebreakerawards.com, that's rulebreakerawards.com, and nominate an entrepreneur for changing the industry rules. And hey, if you're a real rule breaker, you'll nominate yourself.
Hello, and welcome to our annual company event celebrating all of our end-of-the-year achievements. We'd like to start out by saying thank you for making this such a great year.
Are you planning a company event on a budget? Events come in all shapes and sizes, from drop-off meeting catering and luncheons to cocktail receptions and plated dinner ceremonies. At Tasty Catering, no matter what size or type of event you're hosting, they understand that you want it to be simple to plan, completely within budget. and a huge success. Professionals across the Chicagoland area agree partnering with Tasty Catering consistently brings them high-quality catering and service that always matches those needs. For the most valuable, high-quality catering in the area, Chicago chooses Tasty Catering. View their menus and more when you visit tastycatering.com. That's tastycatering.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, everyone loves a good story. Think about the last time you were really listening in a business or personal setting. It's probably because someone was telling a very engaging story. Well, we need to do the same thing in small business. Every company has a story that they want their customers to tell. All the great brands do it. Think about what is your story and how do you do it effectively. Here to help is Judy Carter, who is an international keynote speaker, speaking coach, and workshop leader on the power of personal stories and humor to inspire others and decrease workplace stress. Judy's message of using humor as a transformational tool led to her being featured in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, The Oprah Winfrey Show, CNN, as well as being a frequent contributor on one of my favorite shows, NPR's All Things Considered. Her latest book is an interactive workbook called Finding Extraordinary Stories in an Ordinary Day. Judy, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Barry. Good to be here to help your listeners.
So why are stories so important and so engaging for people?
Well, think about the last movie that you went to and think about how you stayed so attentive to the story, caring about the character. Well, we want our customers to care about our products the way that we care about a character in a story. And the way that you grab your customers' attention is not through the data about your products or services, like, oh, my God, we're having a sale, and we're 50% cheaper than our competitors. And that stuff is important. But what's really important is emotionally grabbing your customer's attention, and the only way to do that is through their heart, through their emotions. And the most effective way and the shortest way to do that is with a compelling story.
So, Judy, how do you find those stories within your company so they're authentic?
Well, you mentioned a really good word there, authentic. Well, there's two types of stories that every business person needs. One is a story about your customer's journey. So when we think of stories, we don't think in terms of things happening to someone, but we think what we call a story arc. What were they like before they used your product or services, and what are they like now? And if you tell that story well and you tell it with humor, people will listen to your testimonials on your website. People will really be engaged. And I found that to be so successful because I deal with a lot of authors who self-published and their book isn't getting any traction. And they wrote the book to promote their business.
Right.
The book's not working. Their business is not working. And so what I get people to do is to speak in front of people. Now, when people speak, I was dealing with a woman who was a CPA, and you just wanted to poke your eyes out with a pencil. My God, it was like, oh, death by PowerPoint.
Or so, death by pencil.
Yeah.
Pencil point.
Like, and she's giving everybody, like, she had a lot of great tips, but I don't care. So then I asked her, tell me about one of your clients. And she told this heart-wrenching story about one of her clients whose husband had died, and she was left not knowing anything, not knowing the passwords to her bank account. She got really depressed. Her kids stopped visiting. Her friends stopped visiting. No one wants to hang around someone who's really depressed. And when Becky, the CPA, found her, she really helped to not just, it's not just about finances, it's about empowerment. So in this story of telling her about her client, she turned it from a story about money and tips into empowering women. That became her brand. And I asked her, Becky, are you speaking now? She goes, No, I'm not. And I go, why not? She says, every time I speak, everybody wants to buy my services. 50% of the audience wants and I can't handle that anymore. That's the result of grabbing your audience emotionally. So that's one thing you need. You need a story about how your clients use your product and how it took them from, and here's the key word, the journey, from a mess to success.
And so is it good to practice what that story is? I go out and ask customers, you know, tell me your story or how I helped you, from a mess to success. Is it important to be able to articulate that verbally so we're actually telling it by mouth rather than just writing it down?
Well, yes, because most people are not very skilled in telling a story. They tell a story in terms of this happened, this happened, this happened. When we tell a story, I meticulously work it out so that when I'm speaking or if I take my story and I put it on the internet or I put it in my bio, I make sure that it takes my listener, my viewer, my customer on a journey. So you need two stories, as I mentioned, Barry. You need that story of your customers, their journey from mess to success. And number two, I need to know your heart story. Now, this is where you really transform people. This is where you really get their attention. And this is how you get on TV. This is how I got on, an interview with my book on Oprah, which really launched my business.
Judy, we're out of time for this segment. I appreciate you being on the show.
Good to be here.
This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
Taking a look at your roadways, southbound I-57 shut down at 123rd Street with a serious crash, a fatality reported there. A solid delay back to 111th Street. Inbound lanes are not shut down, but you are seeing a pretty heavy delay from 127th to 119th, 20 in from I-80. Again, southbound I-57 shut down at 123rd. Solid delay from 111th. Northbound delay from 127th to 119th. Over on Metra's Union Pacific Northwest line, outbound train 725 is stopped in Palatine with a pedestrian incident. That train scheduled to arrive in Harvard at 10:20. Right now, 54 degrees and partly cloudy, a low of 42 overnight. On Easter Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 67. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-9999 0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
My proudest number is 2005. That's the year I started my business. It was just me for 2 years, and then I hired my first employee.
My proudest number is 20. Last year, I saw a 20% increase in revenue. We got our first six-figure check, too.
My proudest number is 36. That's how many new clients I've signed. And next quarter, I'll double it.
My proudest number is 42. I was 42 when I became one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S., and I never looked back.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage Cloud and Software Solutions help you achieve these milestones by providing deeper insights into all your numbers. So believe in them. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today to learn more.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Welcome back. You know, you and I are very much alike. During my many years of running my own company, I had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. For me, it was the moment of truth, and it was a painful realization. My business had flatlined, and I had no idea how to breathe new life into it. Does this sound familiar to you? You know, it was especially difficult for me since my customers were not getting the service I was so passionate about delivering to them. Secondly, and probably most importantly, I wasn't making any money. Finally, my stuck business literally was sucking the life out of me. This was not exactly the way that I thought my business would turn out after reading all of those books. Well, it's kind of normal, sort of. During the life cycle of every single business owner, they get stuck from time to time. Do any of these things sound familiar? Take a listen. Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. It doesn't get much more frustrating than this. You have few new leads to customers coming in, and customers keep just fading away. You're burned out, and you're completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family is starting to suffer as well. You got to get off the roller coaster. I know what it's like to ride this entrepreneurial roller coaster. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be like that. I've had my ups and downs. And I finally cracked the code at getting unstuck and moving your business forward. Over the years, I have worked with hundreds of corporations and small business clients to help identify the sticking points in their systems so they can take their business to the next level. Throughout the decades of running my own businesses, I've identified six major areas where almost every small business inevitably gets stuck. This is the year that your business gets unstuck. As you journey through my breakthrough training series, I'm going to show you fast and easy and permanent solutions to get unstuck. Each module includes a guided PowerPoint presentation, a voice recording of me presenting this materials in front of a live audience, downloadable lesson notes, downloadable homework assignments, and audio recordings of the 100 best of Business Insanity Talk Radio over the last 5 years. Whether you learn best by watching, listening, or reading, there is a format for you. I've made it very easy for you to absorb the material and develop a clear plan of action of moving forward. There are six steps to a better business. This is what I'm going to guarantee you throughout this course. First module is about find new customers and grow the ones you got. You know the drill. When business is booming, you ignore sales and marketing. And then business slows down. And as a result, you go do sales and marketing. This is a hamster wheel to nowhere. Your business remains flatline and stuck as long as you stay on what I call the double helix treadmill. I'll show you how to grow your business by tossing out the old paradigms and traditional sales techniques through my easy-to-follow step-by-step guide. I'm going to show you how to increase the revenue of your business without ever having to sell again. Module number two is finding money to manage your business. Because guess what? It's already there. As a small business owner, there's a great joke. It says, I sleep like a baby. I go to bed early and wake up at midnight screaming my head off. Does that sound familiar? Cash flow keeps a lot of small business owners up at night. We've all felt the crunch of following the Great Recession. Cash flow has slowed to a trickle. Bank financing is almost impossible. And customers, well, they're just taking longer to pay their bills. I have found that only 5% of small business owners actually understand the secrets to overcoming the cash crunch. Learning this module will always have cash to run your business. Module number three, building a team that lasts. One of the most difficult elements of growing a business is hiring and then holding on to the right employees. A good rule of thumb is to be slow to hire and quick to fire. Unfortunately, not many business owners follow this advice. Instead, they hire the first person that fits the role. Then when the employee doesn't work out, they hesitate to fire them no matter how many team members think they are incompetent. I'm going to show you how to effectively hire, train, manage, and fire people to maximize the leverage in your business. Module number 4, customer service is the new marketing. While this may surprise you, the truth is that customer service is your biggest marketing tool. In this age of social media, traditional advertising really has become meaningless, and people are looking for earned media based on buyers' recommendations. In this module, I'll teach you how to create an effective customer service manifesto so your customer can be served at every level of your organization. Module number 5, you got to break that social media addiction. It's no secret. The World Wide Web can be a worldwide waste of time. Most small businesses have no idea what they're doing. I'll show you how to make sure you use social media as your new marketing voodoo. Module number 6, the real trick to all of this is boosting your productivity. Recent studies have indicated that multitasking can cause brain damage. At the very least, it prevents you from doing what you do best. It certainly doesn't allow you to get things done effectively. You see, here's the thing. Your employees will mimic the way you work. You could soon have a team filled with inefficient, multitasking workers all running around chasing their tails. Get the picture. I'm going to uncover ways to get more done in half the time. I'm going to make sure that you're productive, not just busy. If you want to be part of this wonderful program, go to www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Use the special value code 50 off WIND and get 50% off the price. You'll learn the exact steps you need to take today to move your business to the next level. I guarantee it. So if this is the year that you are really committed to getting your business unstuck and you still have some questions about how it can absolutely, positively change the way you do business, give me a call. I make available to all our business listeners a 15-minute free audit of your business and how I can help you get unstuck. The number is 773-837-8250, available to the first 5 callers. I guarantee this is your year.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in industry. But no one recognized the folks that have the courage to challenge the industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about, and you can be nominated right now. Go to rulebreakerawards.com. That's rulebreakerawards.com, and nominate an entrepreneur for changing the industry rules. And hey, if you're a real rule breaker, you'll nominate yourself.
The journey into entrepreneurship is no easy feat, but the reward is like no other. Just ask entrepreneur Nellie Acow, founder and CEO of CorpNet.com, who's been a business owner since 1997. CorpNet can help you start a business, incorporate your business, form an LLC, file a DBA, and file many other important business documents in all 50 states. To get started, call their team today for a free business consultation. Call 888-752-0363 or visit CorpNet.com. Do you recognize that sound? It's the passage of time. Some things improve with time. Cheese, wine, even relationships. But when it comes to your dental health, time can be your enemy.
This is Dr. Anna Pellick with Total Dentistry. Every day I see patients with a mouthful of problems. Problems that could easily be avoided with a little time spent in my chair. And once we've restored their beautiful smile, they always say, "Why didn't I do this sooner?" Well, I know why. Fear. We at Total Dentistry cater to cowards, from light local to full general anesthesia, regardless of the procedure. We want your experience to be comfortable. Good dental health is as simple as twice daily brushing and flossing, and regular checkups, either at our Yorkville or Palatine location. Make time your friend. Call us today.
Total Dentistry, a general dentistry practice like no other. 847-358-2477. Watch their video and make an appointment at TotalDentistry.org.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
I'm not very much into sports analogies when it comes to business, but I do think that every company needs a game plan. They need a daily game plan, a one for a week, one for a month, one for a quarter, one for a year. The problem is that most small business owners can't articulate any kind of game plan, and therefore employees come to work every day and react to fire drill after fire drill. Here to change all that is Ciara Pressler. She's a marketing strategist working with new and growing businesses. She's got a great book. It's called Game Plan, Achieve Your Goals in Life, Career, and Business. Ciara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. It's great to be here.
All right. So we all know that we need a game plan, but how do we have a game plan for the day, for the week, for the month that really stays together after I look at my first email?
It starts with thinking big. I've worked with entrepreneurs my whole career, and, you know, entrepreneurs are visionaries. I love that your first book is talks about being a little crazy, because that really is required. Absolutely. So my job as a strategist, as a consultant, is to keep people's feet on the ground while their head's in the clouds. So what we do is we start with a big vision. Where do you want to be a year from now? And then we start chunking it down into quarters, months, weeks, so that people can focus on what's right in front of them. Because in small business, things change so quickly, you have to be able to turn on a dime.
So what are the key elements of a game plan that's effective?
So the first part is your goals. I advocate setting the right goals. So sometimes people's goals are too big, they have too many goals, they're unfocused, they're not realistic, they don't take into account market conditions. It's important to start by setting the right goals. And then, of course, to break them down into action steps, you have to attach time to everything. You have to be very specific, and you have to factor in your resources. Resources aren't just money. It's also your team, your advisors, how much time you have, even how much energy you have, what other factors are going on in your life, especially if you're a solopreneur.
So let's say, Ciara, you come up with this annual goal, then you come up with a quarterly, then a monthly, and a week. How do you actually chunk it down to figure out what I do this week, what I do next week, what do I do this month, what I do next month?
I think it becomes clear when you set that big goal, what has to happen in between. So say, you know, you want to get a certain subscriber base to your newsletter. Well, the first step, of course, for that would be making sure that your website is optimized so that when people do visit your website, they can register and they're encouraged to do so. There's a strong call to action. So that might be, you know, your first quarter goal might just revolve around optimizing your website. And then you go to building your audience. So it's really important, especially in small business where resources can be really tight, to do things in the right order so you don't have to go back and do them over again.
So last question I had for you is, so you have this game plan and then something else comes in the way that seems like it's more important. How should you react?
Well, that's the whole point of the game plan. The game plan is not a business plan. It is about what's happening in your next play. I do love the sports analogies. So it's really important to be able to, you know, if you're in the tech world, we call it pivot, be able to change because new opportunities come up all the time. Of course, challenges can arise too. And that's why it's really important to know exactly where you stand and what resources you have available to you.
Ciara, great advice. Where can people get in touch with you?
My website is ciarapressler.com, and my book is on Amazon.
And it's www.ciarpressler. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining this edition of Business Sanity Talk Radio. I want to thank our sponsors, Sage One, Nextiva, and CorpNet. Special thanks to our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, of course. Our producer Beyond the Glass, Debbie. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck this year, give me a call, 773-935-5181, or go to my website, www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Isn't this the year that you finally move your company forward and make the money you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
The network is down again.